Do you get to choose your elemental? I know the Draconians only get one, like, at 7. Is that random or is that chosen?
Welcome to New Game Plus, a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
My name's Nolan.
And this is episode 279, and new Pokemon Snap is now out. Critics are saying things like, new Pokemon Snap might be one of the most thoroughly pleasant games that's come out for the Switch, if not ever. Things like, brings back almost everything that made the original special and fleshes it out into a much more elaborate game. Things like, loyal to a fault sequel that hopefully harkens to something a bit more adventurous down the line.
And it's called New Pokemon Snap?
Nude.
Oh.
I play.
You were right the first time. New Pokemon Snap.
All right.
None of us have played it.
No.
But I've just told you a little bit about it.
Mm.
I played the original Pokemon Snap.
Same.
Nah.
Kenny, it's obviously your place to say something.
Yeah, I said nah. No, I shook my head first, and then I remembered that we're an audio podcast as well as video podcast.
You know this guy hasn't played Pokemon Snap.
So I don't know everything about it, so don't ask me many questions. It is about a 15-hour experience, which is...
feels short.
That's about, have you, so you didn't play the first one. This is about 14 hours longer than the original.
Yeah, the original one's nothing.
The original was a bad idea to come out during rental time because you could beat it in just a rental period. Very easy.
Yes, very easy.
Yeah, that's garbage.
Well, no, it's
that's
just
a demo
different kind
of a game.
It's a different kind of experience.
Do you know why Pokemon Snap works better now than it did back in the day? Because you can tweet from your Switch now, and so like you can tweet all out, you can live tweet your Pokemon Snap experience and tweet out the pictures.
Who's tweeting from their Switch on Twitch?
On Twitch?
I don't know.
Do you even know anything?
I'm an old man and I'm out of touch and I don't like any of the words that you just said.
You don't have a Twitter, so why are you even mad?
I don't know.
Why are you mad, bro?
It's
you
popular to be outraged about everything. So
you can share your snaps with people in real time. That's cool. And they might have something built in. I don't know. I haven't researched the game at all.
I can always take a text message picture of my TV screen while I'm playing a game and send it to anybody I want to.
Right. Best quality probably too.
Uh-huh.
I'm getting the vibe that, Kenny, you're not going to play new Pokemon Snap.
It actually, your description made it sound very promising. It never would have been on my radar at all. I'm probably the mediumest big Pokemon fan of the three of us. I'm certainly not as big a fan as Nolan, I don't think.
I think you're probably in the middle. For some reason, I was above you when then Pokemon Go came out and your life got changed.
I outgoed you guys, but every other Pokemon experience I had less of than you. And
hey,
so
real quick, not to switch topics, but did you did you have an Excel sheet going on?
I didn't.
Okay. Did you have any documents?
I did put some serious miles into a couple of parks though.
Well, yeah, but
like you got your steps in?
I had some research saved on optimization and I knew what I was doing.
For Pokemon Go.
I love it.
Of course you did.
Out of all things.
Of course you did.
Okay, so Kenny, you probably won't more interested now than you were before. Nolan, it's a new game, and it's a new Nintendo game, so it's probably $1,000 and will never go down. But what do you
right,
think?
Ever.
Yeah,
I won't buy it.
Yeah.
Now I'm still playing Monster.
We'll play it in 15 years.
But you'll rent it?
We'll play it in 15 years. Both good jokes.
Both bad. I might get it later, but I'm still playing Monster Hunter anyway, so even if I had it, I wouldn't want to play it.
Dude, Monster Hunter.
Play Monster Hunter.
I probably won't either. I enjoyed the original. I'm not the biggest Pokehead And so I probably won't either. I'd like to play it eventually at some point, but not going to spend the money on it now. But I am hearing good things. I'm excited that people are enjoying it. And from what we're hearing, the experience only gets better the deeper you go. Like in our retro game of the week, Lindley's Dungeon Crawl.
Overview.
Lindley's Dungeon Crawl is a 1997 roguelike game originally programmed by Australian programmer Lindley Henzel. I think that's probably how you pronounce his last name.
Mate.
Yeah. Crikey. It came out on the PC. It's a NetHack-like game. The reason why I reference that is NetHack is one of the oldest, if not the oldest, and it is a game that we played on the podcast when we were but children.
Right. It's the one we know. When we were but children.
I don't remember it. For the record, I don't remember it.
Oh, you
much.
Don't?
I mean,
really?
I was reminded, obviously, this week of it some, but yeah.
So, interesting. This game was first submitted by an older listener named Jonadab via email on Monday, September 5th, 2016 at 3:05 p.m.
That existed back then? I can't believe that we did the podcast.
Email existed, you mean?
So that's a year after our podcast, or close to a year after our podcast began.
Pretty early submission.
Okay. Jonadab was a huge roguelike lover. Still is, I would imagine. I just don't talk to him much anymore. For those of you that do not know, roguelike is a subgenre of RPGs where players dungeon crawl through procedurally generated levels featuring turn-based gameplay where permanent death is a very real threat. It's a very real thing.
Question.
Yeah.
What's roguelite with a T? I've seen that everywhere too, and I don't know the difference.
I bet Kenny knows all of this, but my guess is a lighter version of this.
Okay. Yeah, that's my sense. I don't know like fully or officially, but just from context, I've always assumed it's a game that takes elements of a roguelike, but without actually being a roguelike.
Cool.
So maybe the randomization, often the kind of one run at a time permadeath, that kind of thing.
Right. It's like the, like, I'm sure your rogue-like players dog on your rogue-lite players saying it's not even the same thing.
Probably.
If you're not permadead, you know, it's that kind of thing.
Okay.
You've got a unique problem with these rogue-likes, and it's this. They are regularly updated with, there's a few problems, but one is that they're regularly updated with old versions being completely replaced by newer versions. It's not a game where then the old versions still exist and are played, but it's completely updated and people play the newer versions because the newer versions are better. It's not like one game was released and that's the game. It's not even like modern games where it's released and then there's updates. It's a quality of life. Maybe it's kind of like that, but it's a totally different experience here where it's very difficult to go back and play the 1997 roguelike created by Lindley Henzel.
It's like software.
Yeah. Part of that's the nature of this specific project, and I think these sort of like ASCII-driven type of games lend themselves to that, but this one is, you know, open source, sort of originally created by one person and since then worked on by like a team of developers, and you're right, the nature of like these types of games isn't, hey, it's dropping and shipping and you're probably not playing it on a console. You certainly could find ways to go back and try and play specific old versions. And if you try hard enough, could even play the original Lindley's, but you've got hardware considerations, you've got to find the old version, you've got to compile all that version. Dustin just says all of that to kind of caveat the uniqueness of the game we played this week, because it's a very old game that we kind of played a more modern version of by necessity.
Yes. So just to be clear, we could have played the 1997 original version. It would have been very difficult to. I know at least one person in our community did this week, but it wouldn't really make sense because that's not even the nature of these games. They are released to be tweaked and updated over time.
Right. So, and when you announced the game last week, I was like, oh no, it's going to be one that we can't play. There's been one game on the podcast.
Right.
Well, maybe two, where we couldn't play the game, period. But luckily, we could play a newer version.
And so, Linley worked on his game until stepping down from the project in 1999 to complete his law degree. Got a lot of history here.
Makes sense.
Updates slowed down over the next few years until 2006 when Dungeon Crawl Stone Soup, a reworked version of Linley's Crawl, was released to the public. That is what game we played this week.
Yes.
So it's not just a spiritual successor to, it's an evolution of that source material, that original game created by Linley. And so this week, I don't even know fully what the title of the episode will be yet at this recording. I'll talk with you guys, but this is some kind of a, we played Dungeon Crawl Stone Soup, but based on that original game that was pulled last week, Linley's Dungeon Crawl.
Right. Yeah. It puts us in an interesting predicament, and it's a fun conversation to have when we get to the aged section of this game. But because this game has been actively developed, you know, since then, and yet because it's this old interface style of game that's sort of even choosing to not use graphics in a lot of versions of it, it feels like the oldest game we've ever played, but is probably actually the most modern game we've played. And so we're kind of breaking our rules on two fronts, but for really good practical reasons, and it'll make for some interesting conversation.
And it makes complete sense to me. I just wanted to lay that out there. I'm not worried about it by any means. I think this is the best that we could do. And again, going to that original email, I know you don't all have it in front of you, but the email that Jonah Dabb said, hey, you might want to play Dungeon Crawl Stone Soup as that's going to be the easiest. So like even the submission.
Fans suggested.
Even the submission was saying, hey, Dungeon Crawl Stone Soup might be the way to play it. So
it's also our podcast and we do what we want.
We do what we want. There are a number of quality of life improvements and changes since the original. We'll talk about it probably more in the gameplay and age section. Wanted to say that up front, though. The plot is go and get the Orb of Zot. I mean, that's
I like that plot.
That's the story. Good. You know, it doesn't have to say much more than that. It's the story. There's something down at the bottom of this dungeon, and you need to go and get it.
Simple.
Gameplay.
All right. So I want to apologize preemptively for this episode. Typically, I don't like ASCII characters, anything. Like, you
which
know,
ASCII, everybody knows, stands for American Standard Code for Information Interchange.
Yes, I knew that. And you've seen ASCII spam in Twitch chat, if nothing else, maybe. So
it's character encoding. It's letters, numbers, symbols to represent certain things.
Yeah. And that's like the core of the original version of this. So if I say something and it makes no sense, I don't know what I'm talking about, but neither do you. So we're all on the same page, and I just wanted to get that out of the way. Now, the ASCII version, there are two versions of this game, and I need to ask what we're talking about, because I clearly picked the right version to play of Stone Soup, which is the graphical tile set, which is a visual representation and much easier to look at, versus the original console version, which is ASCII characters, which no one in their right mind would ever choose.
Kenny, you did and not. 100... That would be stupid of you.
He did.
It wouldn't. It 100% is the most accurate version of the original gameplay.
So?
And? It 100%. And?
Has its own charm and interest.
No,
and intrigue.
No,
it does.
It does.
Sorry.
And I 100% tried the other one because whatever, and went gross, and went back to the ASCII interface because
that's what
these games are supposed
it
to be.
It looked like vomit for sure.
Right. He said, the tiles are disgusting. Want to go back to the at symbols?
Yes.
Okay. So this is ridiculous. Now, I agree with you on one thing, Kenny. It is the most faithful to the original. So
absolutely.
In my first play, I did the ASCII version. So we're all looking at dashes, plus signs,
parentheses,
and various things to represent thousands of things in this world. that you won't know by just looking at the letter or the dot or the symbol.
At least at first, you'll quickly learn to recognize things by their symbols.
This guy's
and
nuts.
Before no. long, you'll feel completely at home no. with what's going on based on what you see.
You know,
or
it's
at least
hard
given
to look
enough
at.
Time, you will.
Like, it's a mess. So much so that, like, there are so many things they need to define that case sensitivity is a thing in this game where, yeah. like, C isn't just C, capital C is something different. And so it's yeah. like, that's, remove as much of that as you can and you get the graphical tile set and it's so much more easy
yeah.
to learn. Thank you. Dustin made the right choice. I knew Kenny played the other one.
Way less charming. Can I read to you a no. piece of my notes? It says 10, and this is in me reflecting on Dustin's first play, and I said 10 bucks says he bails to the DCSS GUI version.
Which no one knows what you just said.
I'll give you 20 bucks to never talk again.
Nice! Wait, again though.
That's easy, huh? I'll do that every week.
You won't have to if it's 20 bucks to never talk again. All right, Kenny, I'll give you nothing, but what were you saying?
I laughed and broke it. Everyone knows, okay, DCSS is Dungeon Crawl Stone Soup.
Yes.
I knew you weren't going to keep playing the correct way, even after doing it in your first play.
Okay,
and I judged you for it.
Ha ha ha, right, like it's original. That would be the stupidest thing, to keep looking at those things when you could look at something that is still not great, but is giving you some kind of visual representation of things that are going on. You're yes. already
you,
having to use your imagination.
You don't have
game.
An imagination?
You're already... Why? Why? Look, this... I'll just say this, and I think I wrote it later, but why... This game is just developers saying, we're going to take away the responsibility for us to create some beautiful things to look at and yeah. listen to and put it back on you.
Sure. Welcome to D&D, which is just
exactly.
the most popular thing ever these days. Like, there's so, nothing wrong with something that's driven by the person's own experience.
Look at this comment.
I feel like the developers made these games so they could, like, look down on everyone else. You know what I mean?
They like, for sure did.
You're not good enough.
You don't understand. You just don't understand. That's like, what Kenny's doing right now. He feels good.
Yes, exactly. So, controlling this game. There's so many things to talk about here. The first thing, though, controllers for video games. Throw it away. Your keyboard is your controller.
Yes.
And in this case, your mouse, too, which was nice and familiar. But
you guys got to use your mouse.
He's gonna do it the whole time.
Well, I didn't really use my mouse either because
But I didn't realize the GUI version actually had mouse integration at all.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought it was all keyboard driven, like the ASCII version.
Right. It has mouse and it's so nice.
That's actually kind of nice. That alone might be the better argument for somebody playing one versus the other if the interface of just the keyboard is overwhelming because that's a lot to learn.
It's like every key is used in some way and it can be a
multiple
lot.
Times.
Multiple,
oh, yeah. multiple
it's
ways.
A lot, but, yeah. and I don't know if this is in the console version. There is a tutorial, thank God, and it's very good. I went through the whole thing.
Same.
Me too.
So helpful. And usually games, even game tutorials, if they have them, aren't that great. But this one was like so good and you must play it through if you're going to enjoy the game.
It's really good, but even that isn't enough. Because not only is there a tutorial, there's a basic tutorial, a more advanced tutorial, an FAQ that gives you some tips, specific menus and subscreens that explain some of the more advanced features. And you wrap up all of that, and without experience and still looking stuff up, you're going to be lost. So I took the step of going even further and looking up like a keyboard shortcut guide so that I'd have on hand a reference. And it was so busy and full of stuff that I half the time didn't look at it and just like learn things because it's a lot.
You have to enter the matrix to be able to see all of the code to make sense of what this game is.
That's sort of how it feels.
So here's the thing. It's a massive game. I might be wrong on this, but this is what I've read. 9,000 status effects. 53
wow.
weapon types. I know we jumped dramatically in number there, but 53 weapon types with so many unique varieties, thousands and thousands. 27 playable species, 25 gods to serve and worship or to like disobey and walk away from, become atheist. And while the dungeon is only 15 levels deep, there are dozens of branches that actually make 100 levels in the game, plus two infinite realms.
That's so much. I mean, it has an infinite realm. By definition, it's the most a game can be.
I mean, I guess you can achieve those numbers when you don't build out graphical things. But
when you just set it for like random creation, which this isn't, I think there is a lot of intelligent design put into play here. I mean, the dungeon rooms that you get are well thought out, well crafted, unique, very different. Every session I played was different, for sure.
And makes sense. They were themed. You know, as you got to a certain area, they, you know, had
don't
some
say you know. I do some, not know. Some act like layout, I do not know.
Some of these layouts were felt very procedurally generated, but a lot of them felt thoughtful and real. Rooms like that had something at the back of them that you had to fight your way through that were mm-hmm. logical, and it didn't feel totally randomly generated. It felt thoughtful.
What was your preferred character to play this week? Was there a character setup that you ended up enjoying most? Because again, there's so many different options. Nolan, if it's an easy question, you start.
I randomized every single character.
Just completely, not even preferred?
No, I randomized every single character.
That is not a great...
No, that's a great way to play this game.
It can give you pretty chaotic setups that kind of work against you.
Right.
And, well,
it forces you to learn the game and gives you a wide variety of, like, game types. Kenny's going to keep talking.
No, that's not why. Because I'm not going to spend time building out these characters. Okay? It's not Skyrim.
You did it for the wrong reasons? You did it because you're lazy?
Yes.
I take it back. You did it totally wrong. You should have done the same thing, but for a different reason.
I started doing the preferred randomization because it builds out characters that are actually balanced. So I don't know. Minotaur?
What? Is that your answer? Minotaur after all that? Okay. Well, that is the race.
The race.
What about the...
Berserker, maybe?
Okay.
Is that what you mean? Class?
Yeah, class.
I think Berserker I got more often than not. I played all kinds of things, as you can imagine.
Kenny's looking at his reference guide down there under his beard. So which one did you prefer? Can you keep it brief?
So this was not my most successful character, but the one I played the most because I was having the most fun with it was a halfling hunter. And I actually... got into the game, looked at options, spent a bunch of time choosing this class that I thought was going to be fun and looked balanced, and then it was a blast. And then realized later that is one of the classes that you're given in one of the tutorial stages. And so I think a lot of people have experience playing the Halfling Hunter, but I just sort of stumbled across that class and really enjoyed the ranged gameplay style.
That's fun. I was never good at the ranged gameplay style, and that's not my style. As an RPG-er.
I think it ultimately was harder.
I had a lot of fun playing a draconian fire elementalist named Tamagotchi this week.
That's fun. Do you get to choose your elemental? I know the draconians only get one like at 7. Is that random or is that chosen?
Yeah, there's so much, Nolan. And
don't start.
It really is D&D.
I'm not going to try and get into the woods too much.
It really is D&D because even the rolls, I mean, it's like 3d6, yes. Which is 3 6-sided dice. It really is D&D kind of setup here. And I would imagine D&D came first and then, well, yeah, for sure. And then
sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Came up out of that, which
totally
is awesome.
Inspired.
So you get to choose what element you start with, but then, yeah, okay. Your draconian gets a random element assigned to them as a dragon form at level 7.
Oh, it is random.
Dude,
nice.
That is so it's a lot. That's too much.
I enjoy that, but Nolan actually said mine, which is crazy out of all of the options, but I think I would imagine that that wasn't completely random and that at some points you might have accidentally clicked recommended character because because one of the baseline recommended easiest to play, theoretically, character setups is a Minotaur Berserker, which ended up being my go-to. In fact, I think people like Kenny, they have, it's a meme to play Minotaur Berserker, and a lot of people make fun of people like you and me. Right, exactly. God. I know.
No, okay, stop. I did start hitting recommended at the end because it makes it better, and so I guess
I
was very good.
I was new to the game, so I tried to intentionally pick easier classes because we're not playing for long. I wasn't going to go hard, so I wouldn't give you guys a hard time for playing like the default class.
But
not,
the fact that someone
unless you do that forever, like unless you wouldn't play anything else. Deep dwarf is what I was most successful with.
Deep dwarf one time, or deep elf. Is there a deep elf also?
There's a deep elf as well.
I think I did that.
Kenny, I feel like you always do halfling characters in any fantasy anything.
Often.
Which is my favorite.
People that play this game aren't playing it first and foremost to beat it.
Yes, and I think that's fine.
Linley only won his version of Krull 3 times. And
that's a fun
one
fact.
Of them was glitched, he said. So it was... there were 2 times where he legitimately won his version of the game. Because... to bare bones to get through this game, you've got to clear out enough dungeons and then lairs and vaults to be able to get 3 runes to be able to get down to Zot's chamber and to retrieve the orb of Zot and really cool, and then run your way back out of the dungeon while all the enemies of hell are coming after you.
Now
really
that's
cool idea.
An ending to a game.
It really is an ending to a game.
That's cool.
And then there's even New Game Plus content where you can go back in afterwards, which why would you want to do that? But there are 15 runes, so some people go for completionists, go in and get all 15, but you only need 3. But there's a lot there, and it takes a lot of time, a lot of luck, and a lot of experience. Kenny, I'm going to ask you, I will be very, very angry if you answer in a particular way. I would imagine you put a good amount of time this week. You did have to go somewhere. Were you at the lake this week?
No.
Interesting.
Are you lying?
That wasn't my question. That was my lead up to, did you beat the game this week?
No.
Not even close?
He's been building up to that.
You ended up getting further than
you
I did.
You shut up and let me talk about me.
Okay, I did not get as far as I wanted to. Mainly, yes, because my playtime got cut a lot shorter. Most of my play was in the first half of the week, and then I wasn't as successfully able to play the game later in the week, and so I didn't make progress.
Can you give a little bit of an overview as to how far you got, what your furthest, most successful run was?
I think my furthest was a level 12, which isn't super far, but a level 12 character.
Okay.
Yeah.
How deep?
I don't know. 8 or 10 or something. Like, it was pretty far down there.
Okay. Because there's only 15 levels of the main dungeon. Nolan,
I wasn't in the main dungeon anymore at that point.
I never found a rune, if that gives you any idea.
Well, yeah, but that's...
Yeah, I didn't
that
either.
That takes a long time.
That's way far. Yeah.
I got to, like, a level 8 character, I think.
Okay.
I don't know how deep.
That's respectable.
So, I played a lot of characters this week.
On
one of my most recent ones, it was my best one. It was a 7-hour run.
Bro.
My character got to level 20, and I had 2 runes, and I died in Vault 4, about to get my 3rd rune from Vault 5.
I'm so jealous.
There were times that I'd taken on hordes and hordes of enemies, and I died to a single one. Single one. I wasn't even fighting multiple ones. I was
like
fighting it in the wrong way. I was just fighting it in the wrong way. It spawned other enemies, and I tried to fight those, and I was supposed to just fight it.
Okay.
You got baited by the ads?
Got mega baited.
You baited? Mega baited. That's the beauty of these games and the permadeath mechanic that has lived on in other games. I love that. Kenny loves that. We play hardcore Path of Exile.
Yes.
Dustin, I don't think you like it, but in this...
Well, but if I played by myself, maybe. Because I wouldn't want to run through this with anybody. But here's the thing.
Sure.
It's not just Path of Exile.
I know.
Please just give me a little time. But like, this is Diablo.
Okay.
Big time. Going down one level at a time.
Diablo 1,
increasingly difficult. Yeah, Diablo 1 at least. Going down one level at a time, increasingly difficult. Getting items, upgrade. It's so much like it. But the thing that Diablo does, and we're not in age yet, so I don't want to spend too much time there, is it gives you visuals and audio to look at and listen to
and
instead
lore.
Of just creating it in your fun mind.
I think when Diablo came out, hardcore fans of this genre are probably like, Like, come on,
Blizzard. Or they jumped over.
Or they jumped over.
It, all of the same stuff that's happening here is just happening behind the scenes in games like Diablo and
Path. It depends why you're playing it. I'm sure there's people that are on both sides. I'm sure there's people that are elitists and scoff at anything short of permadeath and wouldn't ever touch Diablo. And then there were people that were like, oh, it's everything I love about dungeon crawling, but like shown and just dove into it. To each their own.
Love the you played a lot, and I was following along with everyone in Discord this week. Everyone was posting their runs, and the death screen is brilliant. It's such a good thing to have in this game. To give you a summary to share with people, and then like just also like archive it, archives your characters. Brilliant. And that's what would keep, that's what makes a permadeath system okay and keep you coming back, because like, again, you're not necessarily, I mean, yes, you want to beat the game, but like you have fun progressing and getting so far. I love that.
Yeah, you're also competing against your past self and your future self. Like it's a high score individual achievement thing. You're also competing against the randomness of it. And it's a little bit of the appeal of, you know, pulling a slot machine, because it's different every time and you're going to have to deal with that. And so there's a lot of things about coming back that are good reasons to do it. And I don't know, I found myself emotionally kind of crushed every time it happened, but not turned off, instead wanting to jump back in and go even further and correct that mistake or kill somebody again.
Not you, Dustin?
I was just crushed.
Yeah.
Especially this last time. To get so close.
I know, that's bad.
To spend 7 hours on it.
Are you done?
And like, I wasn't close. Like, I still had a lot. No, I just have to take time afterwards because I am crushed.
It's a long run.
I've actually started another one, and I'm kind of just speed running at least the first little bit because I'm a lot more comfortable in the world now, and I know what is good and what is bad kind of play and what kind of enemies I'm facing. Like, when I first came across enemies, I would search them up on the guides to see, okay, what am I dealing with? Right. What can they do? Because it will tell you. Actually, you can look in game, XV. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to XV every character, which means it's examine and then you choose a character, and it will tell you what the max damage they can do to you is in a single hit. So you kind of know what spells they have.
So it's like a D&D book. Like
it's a
D&D guide.
So much of this is a D&D experience. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and did you use Auto Explore when you're starting to speed run them?
Oh, yeah.
That quality of life.
All the time.
Can you do that in the console?
Not in the original dungeon. Okay. No, that was one of the stone
suits. It's a wonderful quality of life thing to hit one button. And
you have to have it.
Yeah, that's great. I use that a lot.
There were a lot of quality of life features added as the game progressed. The auto explore and even some of the other abilities, you can like mark waypoints and then automatically return to them. So if you want to like take a specific... you know, set of stairs down, but you don't want to like go explore and lose it. Some
the
really
inventory.
Good things. And they also removed some things that
Thank
were
God.
Kind of punishing bad mechanics. Because
inventory weight and hunger. There was a whole
food,
hunger mechanic.
Yeah, you had to feed yourself. There was sort of a survival thing going on in the original one that we didn't
everything.
Have to deal with.
And no fast travel, which is just, it becomes grueling after a while for sure. So a lot of quality of life changes with the updates and then with the Stone Soup kind of upgrade, which are pleasantly welcomed here.
Aged.
We talked about it, but these games just age considerably. Like, considerably. Kenny, no, don't do the head tilt of like, well...
I'm absolutely doing the head tilt because, yes, there are things about this game that age, but
cool,
the
we agree.
Fact
no,
that
no,
it's...
We agree.
The fact that it's simple also takes away some of those...
Brother, it ain't simple.
Simple? Okay,
it ain't simple.
Never heard the word simple
Sorry.
In this conversation.
Accessible. Like, this game is...
Excessive.
Yeah.
Sure, it's also... It's both. Like, the lack of music blast of graphics
Kenny,
is
what
tough.
No. There's nothing about this that is user-friendly. That is modern day gamer friendly.
No, there's not.
Sure, a ton of things, but I'll make one argument I rarely get to make in that this game is actually free to anybody who wants to play it, and they're legally allowed to.
You're right. It's free. It's free.
We take emulation for granted sometimes. It's kind of this like legal gray area, but this is a game that's been released as a true free
open source
game. So it's so nothing about, more available to some people than
nothing
other
about playing the game. Just obtaining the game is easy. Great. Yeah, you are so right. Obtaining the game is accessible, and as soon as you turn it on, it becomes inaccessible. Yeah.
You've got it on a lot of devices. And you don't have to have super high-end hardware to run
just,
it. There are things that are accessible about
talk,
something.
But just understand that everything that he's saying isn't about the gameplay itself.
No,
it's
there
about
are things,
other things
about the nature of this game that make it much more accessible than other kinds.
Okay,
the gameplay itself is going to be a harder hurdle for a lot of people.
Yes. I don't know why you just are. So yes, playing the game is inaccessible. But
no, I just think it's an interesting conversation because of like the nature of this piece. It's so different from other games that we've played.
Okay, one thing,
yes,
that is very noticeable.
Okay,
about how it's aged. The core mechanics in these games, NetHack, this one, live on in everything, and they weren't the first game because D&D existed, but like the back and forth combat, that's in so many modern games. The permadeath thing we've talked about, inventory management.
Are you saying some good things?
Yeah, I'm just saying. Well, I'm saying that like a lot of modern games, modern roguelike games that I've played, for instance, Hades, Kenny has played a lot of that. Binding of Isaac, I really love that game. Enter the Gungeon. Like
all of those are here.
Yeah, all of those are here, procedurally generated, like worlds, multiple runs, high score against yourself. Like those things live on. It's just like to see it stripped away, all of the like modern advancements and the graphical thing, graphical stuff and everything, and to see this, it's very like stark to be like, wow. Yeah.
And what's not here is music.
Dude, there needed to be something.
Just they don't want
graphics.
They
if
could,
you're playing it correctly.
They could add music. They could, very simply.
They could.
But
files,
it's,
sure.
it's these Matrix elitists that are saying, you don't need music. Let the music live in your head.
Oh,
so
sure.
Like in my first play, I put a little bit of music because otherwise it would just be a silent experience.
Yeah, and I did too. I was listening to like Skyrim music because if you don't, there's not even like clinking of swords and stuff. It's dead silence. Kenny, I would love to hear this.
No, I'm not defending it. I did play in silence, but that's not a choice that you necessarily should make. It's just, it's valid if you don't care.
Kenny, was this your favorite track?
Sorry, I interrupted it.
Yeah.
Like, Nolan ruined
come
it.
Come on. You gotta have something in there.
And then the graphics are garbage. Okay, so even if you play with the tiles, they're trash
MS
too.
Paint. MS Paint.
All agree, but that's because that's not the point. Like,
sure. If you don't make it the point.
The graphics are shown on there just to like, I don't know, be a stepping stone to people that don't really want to like learn the symbols. The point isn't the visuals. The point is the adventure you're being taken on. It really is. It's a solo session of Dungeons and Dragons with a really cruel kind of random dice-driven DM, and you get to just play with yourself.
Wait. Oh, gross. Listen, well, can I say this? Because we just brought back Elements.
We did?
Check out that Tamagotchi episode.
Oh, my gosh.
But there are five gameplay elements we typically talk about. Graphics, music, gameplay, characters, and story. Out of those five, this has one.
Gameplay!
One!
Characters that exist.
Oh, no.
There's sort of a story, but
listen, it's got one.
It's
Kenny,
a sentence.
Don't, listen, Kenny. Kenny.
I'm not
listen to me, because listen.
Tell me.
We have talked about it, and the places that we're going are fun places, but you're trying to argue points that you know aren't arguable,
or
that should even be argued just for the sake of it. Agree.
They couldn't.
There's not characters, and
I would love if there was amazing music.
Okay,
sure,
cool. We got.
Let me defend the graphics a little bit. The tile set.
Okay, right.
They're fine. Like,
yeah,
they look like
serviceable.
Sure. And at some points rather enjoyable. I thought like there's no like animations. It's all static, just images. So again,
they're not adding ray tracing yet.
Not yet. Not quite yet. You have to turn the shader all the way down. But I did think that some of the pixel work was pretty good.
Okay. I mean, again, Kenny is right on one thing, that this is not what it's about. It's not about the graphics. It's not about the music. It's about the gameplay. And okay. So how that being said, those other four elements are going to age poorly because it wasn't the point in the first place. But it's still going to age poorly on that front. And then we've already said, but I cannot stress enough, and I don't know why Kenny said it was accessible, except it's free. It is one of the steepest learning curves you're going to come across.
Yeah, that's right.
There is so... I got very far in the game and still probably know a tenth, if that much, of what this game is and what all I can do with it.
I agree. I didn't even get there.
Yeah, because of time, I didn't even let myself fully learn the magic system or some of the other complex interactions.
I can't imagine the magic system, dude.
I didn't let myself fall into the hole of like rebinding some of my items to specific letters to like optimize my gameplay. It's a sink that you can put so much into if you want to. But as you do, you also become so much more efficient at the game that then future playthroughs are significantly more successful and fluid and all of those things.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not the game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. It does require 2/3 of vote to swing one way or the other. For sure, Kenny is the one that starts here. Yeah. Enter the Matrix and tell us in ASCII what you thought of this game.
That's impossible. I mean, it's possible. This one is a yes for me, not surprisingly, with the huge caveat that people should sort of know themselves and know a little bit about what they're getting into before making that choice. If you're unwilling to take time to learn a system, if you're absolutely uncomfortable with the idea of entertainment that's in ASCII format, if you get a super emotionally tied to characters and you're unwilling to die and try again, if you lack any imagination at all that would immerse you in an experience that's two-dimensional, or if variability and randomness frustrate you immensely, sure, take note of it, note it, avoid it. Basically, I'm making a big assumption here. I am actually might be wrong based on the episode so far, but my thoughts were if you're Nolan, then pass. I remember how you felt about NetHack. We'll see. And assume that this was going to be maybe different than it was. Otherwise, I think people should give it a try. It's got a ton of potential. It's going to feel more like a digital board game or a solo session of D&D than it is like an actual video game. But that's sort of the point. And people might like it, and they might like it a whole lot. So, sure. Yes, right. For me, asterisk.
Which does something in game for sure. An asterisk.
Yeah, but I don't get it.
Nolan.
You know what?
No, don't.
I'm gonna punch Kenny.
Tease us. Just what did you really think? What's your summary?
NetHack. I said I didn't remember the episode. I probably hated it. But
you hated it so much.
Yeah, I think I probably did. Being able to play a graphical tile set of this game, it converted me. Now, it is all the things Dustin said, so be ready. However, all of those core mechanics that live on in other versions of roguelikes and modern roguelikes are here, and they're still fun. Even without the graphics, even without the music, it's still the rinse and repeat style of gameplay that I personally really, really like. And I don't know why I didn't find that in NetHack. Probably because I was looking at ASCII. And that's, I can't recommend you play that at
There's
all.
There's no tile. Oh, yeah, no.
Do not
it was,
play ASCII.
It was harder for us to get it set up. It was, oh, no, you certainly can if you want to.
No, you can't play the ASCII version.
Do not play the ASCII version because it looks like a mess, and Kenny's tripping, and he knows he's tripping. I know he's a purist.
I'm not.
And I know he's old school, and he's old. Play the graphical tile set. It doesn't look that bad, and it helps you get more immersed than you would previously. So I actually give this game New Game Plus. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I genuinely had fun. Wow. And Dustin, I'm surprised you're about to not, because of me following along with you in Discord. I could have sworn that it hooked you, but I guess not.
It's funny because you and Kenny are trying to figure out where I'm landing. I
don't think that's where he landed at all.
I was already terrified coming in this week along with Nolan probably because it's intimidating to begin with. And then when I played the first play, my fears were met. I had no clue what was going on. Although I did better than what like I would have done in NetHack. I
was impressed.
I did something. But people have commented on that video already saying, "Ooh, you didn't do too well." I thought I did well for that or whatever, but
elitists.
Again, I'm not elitist. I'm not in the Matrix, but there was something addictive about this freaking game.
I know.
And I kept coming back to it and kept coming back to it and kept coming back to it all the way through the week thinking, but I'm still like, even if I find some enjoyment, I'm still going to say no because it's such a tall mountain to climb or whatever other idiom or phrase you want to use.
And then you came back to it again, not just to research the game, but because you were kind of hooked.
And then I came back to it again because I was hooked and I did so well, but then I was crushed. And so just out of spite, I wanted to say no, because it hurts so bad to get so far. I like this game. And it's so easy to play. I played on my Mac this week the time.
It runs great.
I snuck in time at work. Like, I was doing things with this game that I am not proud of. And that are so foreign. And this is not the kind of game that I go for. But there's something Diablo-esque about it. And I loved that game when we played it.
Oh, you loved Diablo 1, which was fun.
If only the console version was the only option, I would say no question asked.
Same.
Because, Kenny, what you experience, I understand that some people can experience that. But that is not the majority of people.
It's not okay.
Sure. And I'm glad that there's an option, because I really do think people should play what they find enjoyable. But I think there's appeal there, and I got just as sucked in, but with more basic graphics.
Crazy. Because there are a lot of gamers out there that wouldn't be able to do that version, but because there is a tile version that gives you some kind of visual representation that makes things make a little bit more sense to begin with, it is more accessible than originally. So I too give this game my vote for New Game Plus status, which means across the board, surprisingly, Lindley's Dungeon Crawl, really Dungeon Crawl Stone Soup, is New Game Plus certified. But what did you think? We had 511 votes on YouTube.
Wow.
21% said yes, it's worth playing today, which was more than last week's game.
Which was what?
I don't remember.
We don't know our own.
No, 2 weeks ago was Moomin's. Last week was Moomin's.
No, it was Moomin's.
Oh, it was Moomin's. Okay.
Which makes sense, actually, that more people would know about this game. 10% said no, go play something else. And 69% said they've never played it before. So still a large majority of people have not played. It's just one of those genres that not everybody does.
I voted no on that poll.
It's not mainstream.
Yeah?
Before I played the game.
That's really... All right. A lot of our community played this week, either having experienced it before or for the very first time. I grabbed a few of those thoughts. Guy in the corner said, DCSS is a roguelike that I have a little bit of experience with. Not much, but I played this for a while a few years back and enjoyed it then. Coming back to it now, I still enjoy it. To me, these games aren't about winning or even killing everything. I mostly just like running around and exploring the random maps. Now, eventually, I hope that I could make it down to retrieve the Orb of Zot, but I'll be taking in all of the vistas along the way. This game gets NGP from me.
Yeah, I bet it's so hard to beat it. Like, to truly get the game.
Oh, I'm sure.
I can't.
And there are some, vistas. Like, there are some worlds. Kenny, you had talked, even though it's procedurally generated, there's thought put into what environments it's giving. So there's even whole, like, lair branches that are water themed, and so it's all water creatures that you're fighting there, or fire lava themed. So it's all, they put a lot of thought into that for sure. The BFG said, I tried to get into this game, but it just didn't click with me. It has no animations, No sound effects, and no music. I understand that it follows in the footsteps of classic 80s games like Rogue and NetHack, but considering the year it was released, I feel as though more could have been done to modernize the genre. Playing the original console version has a very overwhelming experience. There are a plethora of commands to memorize, and I found the HJKL movements awkward.
Right.
The tile-based version is easier to get into, as you can play with a mouse instead. I can see the appeal if you are a fan of the genre, but this game just isn't for me. No hard feelings towards Nolan's cousin.
Yeah, Lindley, my cousin
which you,
Lindley.
You didn't bring up this episode.
It's just I couldn't get used to those controls either. So it made no sense. Like I had to use the mouse.
They don't.
I used numpad.
I don't have a numpad. I have a 60%.
I didn't have it on the Mac either. So I was using the directional keys, and then for diagonals, I was using U, Y, B, and N.
Yeah,
but only when you wanted to go in directions. Oh, that would have driven me crazy.
Oh, yeah, it was problematic. Probably not the best, but it's turn-based, so I don't have to be fast.
You just hit O.
Brojim said, as a rule, I hate this genre. It's like someone took my worst gaming nightmare. I find many of them rely on the blanket. Well, that's just how this genre works, to excuse lazy RNG-based, less than compelling gameplay. Yeah. There are a few in this genre that I would love to see their deeper worlds, but they seem determined to keep me from playing the game they made in favor of random death or requiring crack monkey twitch reflexes. However, this entry is fairly forgiving to the new player. After extensive tutorials, the favoring graphical tiles instead of the original interface, I actually had some fun. I just randomize a character and see how far I can get. I have a feeling that this one has a lot to be uncovered if you can get past the fact that it will relentlessly and unfairly kill you if RNGesus isn't on your side. It suffers from everything wrong with the genre, but has lovingly and deep lore and development from fans that's worth a look. It's free, easy to load up, and relaxing gives it NGP. Relaxing?
Relaxing?
Yeah.
Why are we all so confused
about your characters?
This is the most confusing NGP status of all time. We're all like, what?
Everyone's like, yeah, I hate a lot about it. It gets NGP
you should
for
play
me.
It.
I died and hated the experience and died and hated it again. I'm hooked. It gets new. Yeah, that's the genre.
You can get it for free, but you'll need to just smash your head on the keyboard and maybe something will work. Finally, Logan said, when someone unfamiliar with roguelikes boots up DCSS for the first time, their first reaction will probably be confusion. It has a literal keyboard full of controls, an overwhelming number of races and classes, and no mercy for new players. However, players willing to break through that barrier will find a game and genre still worth playing today. Roguelikes like DCSS and are storytelling engines, weaving tales through deep systems and RNG variety. It was a joy this week in Discord seeing people recount their tales of triumph in the face of certain death.
Agreed.
Or sudden heartbreak at the hands of a mutant orc. If you're well-versed in the genre, I don't think this will crack your top 10, but for everyone else, this makes a great jumping in point to explore what this quietly thriving genre has to offer.
Mm.
Quietly thriving.
Yeah, the Discord
probably
went off.
Small community.
Kenny, are you a part of that?
Of the small community of people that like this game?
Yeah. Yes. No, no.
Now I am.
No, the small community of people that like roguelikes and that keep up with those things.
Oh, no, okay. But I might become that person after this week.
So this cracks your top 10 because you've played two of them.
Yeah, it's my top one.
Yeah, it's my top one too, man, out of the ones that I've played.
Oh, lovely.
Thank you so much for sending in your cousin's amazing, for sending in your thoughts on the retro game of the week. You can do that each and every week to ngppodcast@gmail.com or hop in our Discord. There's a commentary section there. Drop in your thoughts. And as Nolan talked about, we play the games together during the week and talk about it all throughout the week. So definitely hit up our Discord. But for now, we're setting aside Lindley / Dungeon Crawl Stone Soup. I'm going back to it right after we finish recording. And we're randomly selecting from our retro master list. Randomizing now. We are going to be playing a 1986 platform arcade game developed and published by, I mispronounce this, Taito.
Yeah, Taito. I remember having this conversation, but don't remember where we landed.
Taito.
I think it's Taito. Nope. Whoa. I mean, maybe, but that's not how we pronounce it. What game did we just recently play from Taito?
Something real recent. I don't. Oh. Was it that sports game on NES or something? That like really random Japanese
I don't
game?
Remember. No, it was more recent than that, okay. I think. It is often listed among the greatest games of all time.
It was that shooter you liked, the shmup, what? Gunslinger.
Oh, that's what's up. The one that y'all hated.
I'm okay with a game that's on all-time good list.
This is on the greatest games of all time list. It is a puzzle arcade game. It also came out on all the consoles. I think we'll need to play it on NES because that was the one that was submitted, actually.
Okay.
But it is called Bubble Bobble.
Oh, big title.
Bubble Bobble.
I've always heard of this game, and I have no idea what it is.
Why aren't they in Smash?
Bubble Bobbles? Are they characters?
They're two little like dinosaur-like creatures.
That's a great question.
They need to be there.
They'd be excellent Smash characters.
Kenny's going to love this game, I feel like.
None of y'all play Smash.
I hope.
Melee.
Like Nolan, I know about this one by reputation, but didn't play it. So I'm hyped to jump in.
Find a copy of Bubble Bobble and play it along with us this week.
It's going to be fun to say that.
Bubble Bobble.
In Discord. Join our community. Go to ngppodcast.com and click join us on Discord to get chatting.
Hey, we want to say thank you to those of you who support our ongoing efforts in making this enjoyable retro gaming podcast, especially our producer-level supporters, Marlian, Austin, Ben, Bethany Fox, Bro Jim, Carrie, Dan the Man, Francesca, Corey Magzima, Secret Duck of Evermore, Shauna, Unbedavable, Wardanus, William, and Zion.
Hey, you're wrong, Kenny.
I'm wrong?
Yeah. You know why?
We don't want to say thank you.
Brojim's not no producer no more.
What?
That's fair.
I forgot to edit the producer list. We have a new director this week.
Oh, no.
Brojim, huge double shout out thank you. Massive for joining the likes of Antonin and Garlisle and becoming a director level supporter of the show.
What up?
You're going above and beyond. We've always appreciated your support and appreciate your huge vote of confidence here. Mm. We also want to say a specific shout out to Thomas, our latest producer, only because we don't remember if we already shouted you out or not. I think we did, but if not, here's an extra double shout out for being awesome. So Brojim, new director, thank you. Thomas, new producer, thank you. You guys truly warm the cockles of our hearts.
Whoa,
wow.
You can find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. All of those links are in the show notes below. Listen directly on any podcast provider of your choice. I said below. It's below on YouTube. It's in the show notes. Listen directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our good friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play Bubble Bobble. Until then, I'm still the Minotaur Berserker.
I'm a halfling hunter that's already sick of the way Dustin says bubble bobble.
I'm Cockles.
And this has been New Game Plus.